This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
15 now, some patchy fog about. Be aware of that. 58 degrees. Feeling a little bit cooler than that to me, maybe because of the humidity. I don't know. Highs today of 79, 81 tomorrow, 78 on Thursday. A chance for showers Friday afternoon, 76 for a high. 90% chance for rain on Saturday, but the crawfish boil championships go on. Rain or shine, and we'll see what happens with the Irish Channel St. Patrick's Day Parade. High Sunday of 84, and we're getting into April, and that means it's going to start turning hot and humid. Vicki Salemi joins us now, career expert for Monster. How are you, Vicki? Vicki?
Yes, hello.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I am well, thank you. So here we are some years after COVID, and it seems like the whole world was turned upside down, topsy-turvy. Are we anywhere back to where we were before COVID in terms of employer, employee, and balance of power or supply and demand?
No, the pendulum keeps on moving. So it's an exciting space to be in terms of the supply and demand. You know, companies are still hiring and there's still conversations about working remotely versus back in the office and flexibility with hours. And what we've seen consistently through the constant change with Monster, we're seeing a lot of demand for flexibility. So that has not changed. That continues to be top of mind and a hot topic.
When you say flexibility, you mean as far as hours or working from home or what?
All of the above, Tommy. It's really, you know, people think about working from home or hybrid situation, but also when they work. If they're back in the office, maybe it's more flexible hours, four-day work weeks, variations on it.
We know that there have been some things in the news lately about going back to the office and so forth. What is the trend among the leading companies or in the job market overall? Because I can make a case for both ways. I could see where maybe people would be more productive after COVID, and employers realize that. But employers also realize that, you know what, we're saving a lot of money by not maintaining these offices, or at least supplying these offices or having as big of an office. So there's a case to be made on both sides. How's it playing out in the real world?
Both ways, actually. It depends on the company as well as the industry, as well as if the company has, say, an expensive lease, that they have empty offices and they're paying for that lease, and they feel also that productivity is key in the office. But no, I think the sweet spot is for companies and workers to see where they are most productive, and that might be a combination, like going into the office for valuable meetings, but also realizing maybe this doesn't need to be a meeting. Maybe this can be a 5-minute call or an email exchange, to really value everyone's time to see what is most effective. And it's helpful for job seekers too, so they know if they don't enjoy or they don't thrive in their current situation, that other companies, there are options at other companies.
Where are the jobs now, Vicki?
you know, in terms of industry, among the top jobs every month, I get a list from Monster with the top 10 most frequent jobs, most in demand, and I've seen them in healthcare. It consistently comes up, such as physical therapist, nurse, registered nurse. There are other jobs in terms of truck drivers. There's a demand for that. And office managers, business managers. So in a variety of different industries. So if I was a job seeker, I would look at these job descriptions in terms of what the requirements are and work backwards to see where are your current skills, where do you need to be, and how you can get those skills and experiences to land those jobs.
One question I get from people constantly on text line whenever you come on and consistently is, how do I forecast for my child who is now 10 or 15 where the jobs are going to be 10, 15 years from now, what they should study, what they should major in, what they should go into? What does the future portend?
It's such an interesting topic, Tommy, because so much has changed. I mean, we were having this conversation 20 years ago, social media wouldn't come up. So things keep changing. So I think the number one thing is to be nimble. And also number two is for their child to have them explore different interests, because you don't want to just pursue a job, let's say, or a path because it's in demand. If you, let's say, faint at the sight of blood, you're not going to be the best nurse and you won't enjoy it either. So it's, you know, it's important to also develop valuable soft skills that you can get in any job. And that's, you know, having a strong work ethic. I know you and I have talked about this a while when we talk about differences in the various generations. It's a work ethic, empathy, listening, problem-solving skills, communication skills. So I would focus on them developing those vital skills in addition to the technical aspects of various industries and jobs.
When it comes to, well, let me take a break. We'll pick it up when we come back. We're talking to Vicky Salemi, career expert from Monster. Apparently, there's the bump that was there for people hopping from job to job is disappearing. So we'll talk about that, about lateral moves, et cetera. Is it better to move or sticking with your current company? And also about the trend of, you know, it's cliche now to say it's not like it used to be in terms of pensions and people staying with one company. But how long is too long to stay with a company? And is it important to be mobile now as a young person manages their career? Or do they want to try to build up some tenure? 821 Traffic, WWL. 825, Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking to Vicky Salemi, our friend, the career expert for Monster, about a Wall Street Journal story saying that the bump that people were experiencing post-COVID for skipping or moving around from jobs to jobs has kind of disappeared or leveled out. Vicky, you know, back in the day, people would say that if people move from job to job, that they had a problem and why were you moving constantly? Why did you stay with this person for that long? But it seems as though the script may have been flipped. And now if you stay with a company for so long, maybe the future employers are saying, well, why were you there so long? Why didn't you move around? Has the whole thing changed?
It has changed, Tommy, and I'm so glad that we're talking about this. There used to be a stigma around, quote-unquote, job hopping. Mm-hmm. When I was in recruiting for years, if anyone on their resume had a job or an employer for less than 2 years, it was a red flag. It was like, okay, they are a flight risk. Now, the opposite is true, and I'm not saying that it's okay to job hop every 6 months consistently, but if you do stay with a company, let's say 10, 15, 20 years, there can be somewhat of a stigma with that because employers may assume that you don't have the ability to learn new skills. You may be stagnant. Again, it's all assumptions, but they would prefer you having, let's say, three employers over 15 years rather than one.
When it comes to moving from job to job, does it matter if you move up with the same company?
Usually, I mean, does it matter to the employer when they're looking at your resume?
Right, right. In the future, like, okay, I was with the same company for 15 years, but I did move up 5 times. So in essence, I moved, just not with different companies.
Yeah, that's important because you can show growth with that as well as new skills and staying relevant compared to, let's say, if you had lateral moves or the same job the entire time. And I do want to talk about lateral moves. Let's say if you are with the same company, but you go to another company and then that's on your resume. That's not a red flag because you may look for a new job for a variety of reasons. And that lateral move to another company may position you better for an upward trajectory, new skill set, et cetera.
So when it comes to negotiating power and moving jobs, has the power shifted from employer to employee? Whose market is it?
Yeah, it keeps going. It's slightly back and forth, and I should say employers are still hiring and there's still a talent shortage, but 50% of workers from Monster Data say it's harder to look for or find a job as companies cut costs, because they're one of the main reasons why people usually leave to get a new job elsewhere is to earn more money. And their expectations are right now 95% of workers said their current wages have not kept up with the rising cost of living. This is also Monster Data. So if they're driven to get another job externally, they're trying to negotiate, the employer may say, we just don't have that type of increase. It might be a 3% or 5% increase from what you're earning now. So even though job seekers have power in negotiating, their expectations may not meet what the reality is.
Somebody texted in that they've been looking for a job, a new job. They're currently employed, but it seems as though companies now offering big titles, but not necessarily more money. Thoughts?
Yeah, that is. I'm not surprised to hear that. So it's important for that person to leverage that title and tap into what the company provides. Let's say internal training resources. How can that worker bolster their skill sets, learn something new so they can be more marketable elsewhere, and then also talk to their boss at some point throughout the year and say, you know, hopefully I can get a pay increase. What does that look like? What's the timing?
Thank you, Vicki. A pleasure as always. Vicki Salemi, career expert for Monster. We'll take a break. Speaking of jobs, we'll talk with Susan Bourgeois, Louisiana Economic Development Secretary, about the announcement yesterday about Hyundai investing $5.8 billion for a steel facility in Ascension Parish. 8:30 time now. WWL First News.